Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Flick Chicks podcast. I'm Allison.
And I'm Jane.
How are you, Jane?
I'm good. I had a pretty good Christmas. What I'm really excited about, though, is my birthday is tomorrow, which is the day that this will come out.
Whoop! So, happy birthday, Jane! I'm so excited.
I'm so excited, too. We're going to an 80s-themed arcade bar.
Yeah! You gonna go see your movie?
I'm gonna go see Cats.
I think I'm gonna go see it tomorrow, too. Maybe today. I haven't decided.
I am, really excited.
I'm not. I saw a post on Facebook from someone who said that they liked it, and all the comments were like, "Are you serious?" I was like, "Wow,
is this a joke?"
And they were like, "No." I was like, "Ha!" And they literally said in the comment, "Like, I liked the computer animation."
I was like, "Ooh." But I am so excited for the dancing cockroach scene.
I saw that on Twitter and I was like, this is fucking terrifying. Like, legitimately scary. Legitimately not a joke. This is scary. And I was legitimately like, oh no. This is gonna be way worse.
It's gonna be way worse than I could even imagine.
I imagined. I did not imagine that in my head, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it would be so blatantly bad.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to it. I'm going with some of our dear friends, so we're just gonna have a great time. And I refuse to go to Regal, so we're going to Pittsburgh so we can get movie tickets for $4.
Yes, and you can get good concessions, and you could get unlimited refill ices.
It's so true. It's way, way better.
It is way, way better. I hate Regal. This is a hating on Regal podcast.
Our friend, Preston, he invited me to go see Bombshell with him.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you need to. Okay, so it's basically about the Fox scandal, about how Roger Ailes, the owner of the company, sexually harassed all of his female anchors.
Okay, yes, I remember that scandal.
It's Charlize Theron, Margot Robbie, and Nicole Kidman.
Cool.
It's really, really good. And he said, do you want to go with me? And I said, I'm not spending $12 on a movie at Regal. And he said, would it help if I bought the ticket for you for your birthday? And I'm like, yeah, I'll go see it with you.
You're like, yeah, I'll sit in Regal if it's free, but I'm not paying.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not paying to go to Regal. That's dumb.
Get rid of Regal. What the fuck?
I know. It's so annoying.
That Neo show, it's gonna take him out.
Yeah.
I'm good. I have literally not been doing anything but sitting in my house and, like, watching TV and working on homework. And I say working on homework pretty loosely. I watched Predator last night and I forgot how much I fucking hate that movie. So why did I choose to do an assignment over it? I don't know. But I literally cannot stand that movie. We should definitely review it sometime, because I was like, wow, this is way worse than I remember.
I've never seen it.
It's fucking terrible. I do not know how people quote it as, like, being one of the best, like, sci-fi monster movies ever. It's not. Alien exists and is good.
It's I really need to watch both of them.
Bad. It's horrible. Horrible. Alien's good. This is horrible. I did not. I was like, ugh. And so I have to write about it, and I'm really struggling. I'm also just really struggling to have, like, any motivation to do anything. Because school here is hard because there's no incentive to work.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, you know how in our school, it's like there's tiny deadlines all the time, so you're constantly working, so you never get out of the flow of work.
It's like there's always a fire under your ass.
Exactly. Here there's like, oh, there's going to be some assignments due at the very end of the year, and you're like, well, I have no motivation to work on that. And there's literally no consequence if I don't, as long as I get it turned in. And for me, especially, there's no consequence because even if I were to fail the class, which I won't, but even if I were to fail the class, I just don't get credit. Like, it just goes on as, like, a no credit.
That's so hard. I would not be able to do that.
I know. So it literally doesn't affect my GPA at all. It just goes no credit. So there's, like, a large part of me that just wants to be like, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
But then here's the thing. It's like, if I do it, I can't not do it kind of well. Because I just can't. But if I don't do it, I'm going to be, like, freaking out, too, about the fact that I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Even though I know there's no consequence. There's a self-imposed consequence of me having to freak out about it.
That sounds really hard, though.
I know. It's, like, what I should really do is I should just do a shit job. I should just not do good. I should just do a bad assignment and, like, turn it in and be like, okay, here it is. But I can't do that. Like, my body can't do that. Like, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't want
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So, you know. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I want you to go see Star Wars. I really need to.
I know, need to.
Ah!
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, I mean, it'll be in theaters for a
long time. Might see it next week. I'm going to Illinois next week with my boyfriend's family. So maybe we can just, like, stop on the way.
So you'd be like, hey, let's go see Star Wars.
Listen. Give us something to talk about.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it yet.
I know. I just haven't gone. And I just refuse to go to Regal. And it's, you know, a 45-minute drive.
Yeah, it makes it difficult. Makes it difficult. Why won't they just get a theater in our town?
I know. And we technically have two movie theaters, but we have an independent movie theater, but they won't play, like, blockbusters like that.
Right, they can't afford that.
Although they are playing Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I was like, they'll play it eventually, just after it comes out on DVD and the rights are super cheap.
Exactly.
But at that point, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, I wanted to go to the independent movie theater because I got a gift card to go for my birthday.
Aww.
I know. It was really sweet. And but they were playing it, but I just got it on Blu-ray, and I was like, I'm not gonna go see it.
Now I'm gonna spend my money on that.
Yeah, I have all the special features, which are so good.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I'm really excited for you to see them because there are some really cool deleted scenes.
I'm so excited that I am almost home. It is almost time for me to come home.
I know. We're all very excited for you to be home, and I'm very excited. I think the podcast will definitely...
It's going to be so much better. I'm so sorry about... We don't know what's wrong with the audio, guys. We do not know.
We've tried everything.
Literally everything. And we, like, we will, like, listen to it, and Jane will, like, send it to me, and I'll listen, and I'll be like, yeah, this sounds good. Like, nothing is wrong with this. And then when we upload it, and we listen to it on, like, Apple, we're like, what the
it's
fuck?
It's messed up.
We're like, this was not there.
What? This is not what I was listening to. Like, the things that are wrong, I don't detect whenever I'm listening to it. So it's really weird. And we thought we would figure it out before she came back, but apparently we didn't.
We can't figure it out. And I'm so sorry. Our listener count has been dropping so much. Honestly, it's so sad. But I literally can't do it. I don't know what else to do. And
I don't either. Just come back. That's what you need. That's what you need.
Just come back. We'll fix it. I think what we're gonna do is, like, we're gonna try, and when I get back, we're gonna, like, take all the old episodes and we're gonna try and re-edit them together.
Usually we can figure things out if we're doing it together.
Together. It's really hard to be like, try this thing that for the program that I'm not looking at. So hopefully, like, we'll be able to get it fixed. I think a large part of it might just be, like, we're recording on the program. I don't know what it is. But I'm hoping we can just get it fixed. And if we can't, like, oh, well, there's literally, like, two more episodes before I'm home. And then it will be back to what it was. And it'll be easier.
Yeah.
And
more fun, personally, I think.
And I think so, too. And hopefully we'll re-upload those old episodes so that it's not, like, there's just a period of, like, 5 months worth of episodes where you can't listen.
Yeah.
Because the audio is so, like, jacked.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we will fix it. And please, like, once we do, just tell your friends, like, I'm sorry, give them another chance. They're really not bad.
Yep.
My contact exactly. came out. I don't know what to do. I'm not near my hold on. Jane, improv.
Scat, scat.
Fuck.
I'm not very good at improv.
Fuck. I'm tripping over wires. Okay, I'm back. I got my contact case, so we can talk while I'm taking out my contacts and putting on my glasses.
Okay.
I can't wait, I have a mirror. Ooh, do I risk putting them in on air?
So yeah, I saw this really good movie. It's called Parasite, and Ooh. It's a Korean film, and it's like it's really weird. You go into it thinking it's something, and then it's something entirely different, which I love movies like that. And it is just so, it's about class, and it's about, like, kind of just the human condition and wealth. It's, like, so good. And I hope it gets nominated for an Oscar. Even though they usually, like, they typically, really screw over international films, but Roma won last year, so I'm hoping
maybe
that,
it'll
like,
get nominated in the best non-English speaking category.
I hope so.
I heard something the other day about this film. I don't even know what the film was. I haven't seen it, but it was a film from a country, which is okay. So you know how the Oscars has like a best foreign language film or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a film from a country with where it was like a. It is a foreign country. It's not America, but it was like colonized by Europeans, and so their official language is English, and their movie was disqualified from the foreign category because it is in English.
What?
Even though it's a foreign country.
That's annoying.
And people were so annoyed because they were like, you're just ignoring the fact that the reason their official language is English is because of colonization. And punishing them for that?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That is really upsetting.
I know. I was like, that's dumb. So hopefully that gets changed. Oh, oof. Well. I know. Okay, we've been talking for a long time. We had a lot to say today.
We do. So what are we covering today, Allison?
We're covering the 1995 neo-noir Seven,
starring Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Yes. Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman. Brad Pitt's young. He's hot.
Frosted Morgan tips. Freeman peak looks, 90s. Brad Pitt, 95.
Yeah, 95 Brad Pitt. Morgan Freeman somehow is ageless and looks the exact same.
It's true.
I heard Morgan Freeman really likes Kansas City. Makes me happy.
That's nice.
I know. I heard he said it's like one of his favorite towns in all of America.
It's a cool town. I like Kansas City.
I do too. I think he likes it. People in the Midwest are nicer. It's just, especially if you like live in LA. So yeah, we're covering this movie. We're covering it because I wanted to cover it because I just wrote a whole essay over film noir and I covered this movie in it. And before anyone fucking comes for me, I know it's not actually film noir and that it's neo-noir, but I covered it anyway.
I mean, I think it's fair.
I think it's fair, too. Honestly, I think if you're talking about, like, classic film noir, like, that bitch ended with Sunset Boulevard, but that was a long time ago, and I don't feel like... I feel like if movies are being made with the exact same aesthetics and the exact same, like, themes, and they're just being updated to fit their time, like... That is film noir, even if it's, like, technically it's neo-noir. How come, so the film noir only lasts, like, 10 years, and then neo-noir lasts, like, from the time that ends till present day. That's, like, ridiculously long.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, it's a good movie.
It is. I hadn't seen this movie in a while, because I think the last time that I watched it, we were together.
I think so, too, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the last time we watched it together, because I remember doing that. But I like David Fincher as a director. He mm-hmm. also did, like, Zodiac and Mindhunter.
Yes. Yes.
I do prefer Zodiac to this movie.
I haven't seen Zodiac in a long time. That has Jake Gyllenhaal in it, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I love Jake Gyllenhaal.
I love Jake Gyllenhaal. It's really, it's really hard not adore anything he's in.
Yeah, he's so good. Also, Jake Gyllenhaal really picks his projects, you know what I mean? Like,
he really does. He puts so much thought into
them. When he's in something, you know it's gonna be, like, good, because Jake Gyllenhaal isn't gonna do something that he thinks is, like, horrible.
It's true.
Unless he's getting paid, like, a shit ton of money for it, and he only does one of those, like, every 10 years, so.
He loves independent films.
He does love independent films, which is how you know, like, it's gonna be good. Zodiac really is a really good movie. That one is also kind of based on the actual Zodiac, though, which is also, yeah. I just think, more interesting.
It's different. Yeah, I think it's more interesting just because it's based on an actual, like,
it's just
serial
real.
Killer.
And also, it's, like, something that we're actually interested in versus this is, like, not. It's a book. It's based on a book.
Yeah.
I like this movie specifically. I don't, like, love this movie. A lot of people are like, wow, best thriller ever.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Agree with that. But I do think, like, as far as, like, neo-noir films, it's incredibly well done. Like, I think maybe Nightcrawler is, like, up there with it, but Nightcrawler is also so recent that it's hard to really, like, read anything on it.
I like Nightcrawler more.
I love Nightcrawler. I think Nightcrawler's so good.
Again, but Jake Gyllenhaal's phenomenal.
It's Jake Gyllenhaal, isn't it?
That's what it is.
John Mulaney and the Sack Lunch Bunch.
You guys should watch it if you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, go do it. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it. It is incredible. Please go watch.
It's phenomenal.
It's so good. It's not just for your kids. It's more for you, even.
But yeah,
I would
your
dare
kids
to say.
Can watch it. It is kid friendly.
It is kid friendly, but they may not enjoy it the way you do.
It's true.
I can't imagine a kid, like, enjoying that as much as I did. But it, I don't know. I do think Nightcrawler is, like, a better neo-noir, but it's also, as far as, like, neo-noir goes, very new. There's not that many neo-noirs being made. But the thing about, like, so noir, all noir has, like, similar things, like, that make it noir, right? Mm-hmm. So, the main difference between, like, neo-noir and noir is people that made noir didn't know they were making it. They thought they were making, like, detective movies. And people that make, like, Seven was made probably with the intention of being a noir film. Like, it probably wasn't an accident that these things happen.
Yeah.
So, for one, all noir is always gonna have basically a bad ending. It will not be happy. If we're talking, like, Sunset Boulevard, Double Identity, both of those, you know at the very beginning that it does not work out. So, any hope that you have while you're watching the movie, scrap it. It's not happening. This movie, while you don't know that it's gonna end badly, there's never really any indication that it's not gonna end badly.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a scene where Detective Somerset, played by Morgan Freeman, and Detective Mills, played by Brad Pitt, they're in a bar, and Morgan Freeman legitimately says the quote, "You know this isn't going to have a happy ending. It's not possible." Which is, like, that's true. And, of course, like, in when you're watching the movie, Mills is like, "Fuck you, yeah, it is." But we know that that's not true.
That is definitely not true, especially for you, Detective Mills.
Especially for you. Yeah, Detective Somerset kind of comes off okay. They always have, like, a femme fatale. So, a femme fatale is, like, a woman whose lies cause the downfall of usually the protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
So, in most cases, I think, honestly, the femme fatale in this movie is what they do the most different. Because in most movies, the femme fatale is usually, like, a bitch. Like, she's a liar, she's cold, she's heartless, she totally leads on the protagonist and, like, tricks them. In this is not the case. Obviously, Gwyneth Paltrow's character is a lovely woman who's very kind and very warm. But, ultimately, it's not her fault. But it is because of her that Detective Mills, like, loses his fucking mind.
Yes, definitely.
And fulfills the John Doe, like, I don't know what you would call it. Not prophecy, because it's not a prophecy. Nobody prophesies it. His, like, work, I guess.
Yeah.
Fulfills his work.
And a lot of that. Wrath.
Yeah, and a large part of that is because she lies to him about being pregnant. And if she had told the truth about being pregnant, they may not have even lived in the city.
Yeah.
All noir films almost always have a detective of some kind, and this movie is obviously centered around two detectives. One, a very hard-boiled, world-weary detective, and another, a very, I don't know what you'd call him, happy, looking forward, bright-eyed.
Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed detective. They're almost always set in cities. A lot of times Los Angeles. Originally, this was kind of because they didn't have money, and Los Angeles is where films are shot. But I think it's also come to, like, symbolize something about America, because Los Angeles especially is, like, just kind of a, like, dirty city where it's, like, very known for being harsh and, like, dog-eat-dog.
Unforgiving.
Kind of. Yeah, very unforgiving city. And so this film is set in a city, although it's not named. It's almost definitely not Los Angeles because it's raining all the time. But it was shot in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And then, of course, aesthetically, a lot of, like, Dutch camera angles. And Dutch camera angles are basically when you shoot at an exaggerated tilt. And then a lot of darkness, a lot of shadows to kind of give this, like, feeling of gloom and, like, overwhelm. And I think, for the most part, this movie really follows those tropes, like,
yeah,
very closely. Like we said, the femme fatale is a little different, and I also think aesthetically it is a little different. It obviously is not a black and white film, but this is not a new thing. Roman Polanski did it in Chinatown. Lots of films since then have shot film noir in color. It's not, like, unheard of. The thing that's interesting about this movie for me is it, like, gets brighter through the film.
Yeah, and, like, so, the last scene is very bright because they're in the middle of, like, of this field in broad daylight.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, when you start at the beginning, we start quite literally in the actual dark. The literal dark. The lights don't turn on in the apartment of the gluttony murder. And that actually ends up being, like, a really big problem, right? Because they miss a huge clue about the case because they can't turn the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could turn the lights on, they would see that the word gluttony is written in blood somewhere in that room. I think on the wall or on the floor or something. And they would have seen that, but because they can't turn the lights on, whatever. But it obviously, they would have, not that it would have made that much of a difference, but maybe they would have put together the seven deadly sin things a little faster. What's the next murder after gluttony?
I should have a list of this, shouldn't I?
Haha, it's okay. Me too. It's hard to remember. Let's see. The seven deadly sins are, apparently there's an anime called The Seven Deadly Sins, which comes up when you type that in instead of just a freaking list of the seven deadly sins.
It was sloth.
Sloth was next. So that isn't that the drug addict?
Sloth refers to laziness. So here the killer ties a victim to a bed for about one year and also not letting him die to prove how laziness affects the person.
Yes, that is a fucked up scene.
Yeah.
That's one of the worst ones for me, personally. Blech. That was gross. So that was the drug addict. Then, what's the next one?
Greed.
So that one was not the model. Attorney. Okay. I kind of forgot about the defense attorney.
Pride was the model.
Yeah, Pride, that's when they, like, fucked up her face.
Yeah.
Man, those ones are not as hard-hitting.
And then after that, after Pride is Lust, where the guy does the American Horror Story Hotel thing with the razor dick. Yeah, like,
the razor dick, and he has to fuck the girl to death. That is horrible.
Yeah, that was upsetting.
That is when I think we start, in my opinion, so the first two murders are pretty dark. They happen in kind of the darkness. Then we kind of move on. We're getting more, like, daylight because they're found during the day.
And the lights are, the lights do turn on in Lust, in the Lust murder.
Yes. Yes. And, but when they originally go in, I think what's interesting, too, is they make use of this, like, exaggerated shadows and, like, creepiness. Because it obviously is, like, the red light district. So they're using, like, strobes mixed with red lights to create this, like, very, it's a very disorienting kind of scene when they discover the Lust murder. I mean, you're not supposed to know what happens at first, but you don't know, like, you just see this guy, like, basically sobbing.
Yeah.
And fucking, like, obviously fucking something. And then you find out what it is. Oh, so horrible. Ugh. Vomitous. Yeah. That is also, the scene of that guy in the interrogation room is, I think, one of the best scenes in this movie.
Oh, I love that
scene. That guy is so good. Apparently that actor, like, straight up didn't sleep for like 3 days before the scene and taught himself how to hyperventilate so that he could do it in the scene.
That's impressive.
I know. And it shows. Honestly, it shows. Then, is that the last murder before?
Yes, before Envy.
Okay. Before Envy. So then, obviously their
character.
Yes. Is
he can play a bad guy because he is indeed a bad guy.
Because he is indeed a bad guy. This entire time, Detective Mills and Detective Somerset, they've been getting closer, right? Like, they find his apartment, they figure out that it's him, and then they figure out that they've even met him because he posed as paparazzi. And, so they kind of meet him and they find, like, all these pictures of Mills in his house and they're like, oh, fuck. Which, I don't understand how Mills doesn't fucking put this together, but, he's been stalking Detective Mills. John Doe has.
Yep.
And he basically goes to Mills' house, kills his wife and her unborn child. And then cuts off her head, puts it in a box, mails it to a location, and then turns himself in.
Yeah.
So they are, like, basically on the brink of catching him. But essentially, since Mills went into his goddamn apartment without a warrant, none of that would be usable. Everything they found would not be usable to obtain a warrant.
Uh-huh.
So, I guess they could make up some bullshit about probable cause, which is probably what they'd do. But they never talk about that for some reason, although that's definitely what a cop would do. Especially in a situation like this. But, they don't have to, though, because he turns himself in. They cuff him, whatever. And then he agrees to tell them. He basically says, oh yeah, I finished the killings, and there's two bodies you haven't found. And he's like, but I'll take you to the bodies. Like, he basically says, I got myself arrested to take you to the bodies. But I'll only do it if only Mills and Somerset go with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise I'll plead. Yeah, he's like, otherwise I'll plead insanity. And his lawyer is, like, really good, and he's like, he'll get off, so you should do it. And he agrees that if he goes, like, and if they go with him, he will 100% plead guilty, like, he won't fight it at all. So they're like, cool, we'll do it. So then is, like, it's not quite the third act, because it's really not a very long part of the film, but it is the darkest part of the film, and yet, like, the brightest part. Like, in this, it's literally so bright that it's kind of, like, upsetting. It's, like, very blinding.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out to this field. He takes them out to the field. A van drives up. There's all these, like, choppers and stuff. A van drives up. There's a box. Somerset's like, I'm gonna open it, even though that's fucking stupid, but he says he's gonna open it.
Dumb.
Dumb. What if it was a bomb? Opens it, finds her head inside, right?
Yeah.
Is like...
upsetting.
Doe has the upper hand! And then John Doe basically tells Mills what's in the box. Like, basically tells him that he killed his wife, right?
And took her head and put it in a box.
Yeah, and that he did it because he's the sixth sin of envy. That's his sin as a person, is being envious. And then, so essentially, he tries to convince John Doe to kill him to fulfill the seven sins, because the seventh sin is wrath. And even though Mills won't die for this, like, his life will essentially be over, right? Yeah. Because his
career's over. His
career will be over. He probably won't go to jail, but his career will be over. His wife's dead, like, all this stuff. And then the worst scene in this entire movie happens, but also the best.
It's true.
The what's in the box scene.
What's in the box?
It is literally, what's in the box? It is like Morgan Freeman and Brad Pitt couldn't film on the same day. So instead of just rescheduling it, they were like, that's okay, we'll have you guys film it two separate times. And they didn't tell either of them how the other one was going to deliver the line. And it's like they filmed without knowing how the other person was going to sound. And that they interpreted it two entirely different ways. Because Brad Pitt is just losing his goddamn mind. Screaming to nothing. Morgan Freeman is just brick-walling him.
It's so true. He just, like, stands there.
And what's interesting, too, is, like, it never really shows them in the same shot. It, like, constantly goes back and forth between Mills and Somerset.
Yeah.
So it really is, like, neither of them really needed to be there. Like, for the other one to do their scene.
Yeah.
It is so freaking ridiculous. It, honestly, it kind of ruins the movie. I'm not gonna lie. This whole movie, I literally have no complaint about this movie up until the what's in the box scene. When it just gets so fucking ridiculous.
It's in the box.
What's in the box? And then, of course, he kills him, right? Like, it works. He totally does it. Because it's a film noir, and it can't have a happy ending, and he can't win in even the slightest way.
Mm-hmm.
So he kills John Doe. But John Doe wins.
Yep. Yep.
The end. Oh, no, Somerset. Then Somerset's supposed to retire, and he decides he's not gonna fucking retire, basically, because of this. And so it's like, oh, great, Somerset was gonna get out, but now he's not, because you can never get out of this horrible, horrible system.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
It's a pretty good movie.
That boxing.
It's not as good as I remember it being the first time I watched it. I don't think you can ever get back watching Seven for the first time, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Once you know what's going to happen, it almost becomes, like, too obvious, in a way.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you see all the signs, and you're kind of like, damn, they're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you watch it the first time, you're like, no, they're not. I didn't see it either. I think what's really interesting about this movie is something that also is difficult for us to understand, because we were not alive when this movie came out, and we definitely, even if we were... we're not old enough to understand, like, the like, statements this movie was making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in film noir, all film noir, basically, like, the general anxiety of, like, the evil of man is a big thing. Like, obviously, this movie is about the fear that you can't stop evil. Because even when they catch him, right? Like,
yeah, even it's when they he wins still.
He wins. It's on his terms. He still outsmarts them. Like, even, or, like, and the fear that you can never get out of it. And I think, like, personally, I think Somerset is a great example of that, because Brad Pitt's character, Mills, is, like, the fear, like, he gets all of his hope and happiness, like, stripped away by this horrible event. But Somerset, what's worse is that Somerset is, like, just resigned to it. Like, at the very beginning of the movie, Somerset's like, we need to get off this case because I don't want this to be my last case, and I don't want it to be his first, or he's gonna be fucked up. And they're like, no, it's fine. And then he's like, I'm gonna retire, I'm gonna quit, I'm gonna retire. And then at the very end, he is just resigned to the fact that he can never leave. Like, he could leave, but it would never go away. And multiple times in the film, it comes up, like, the idea that Somerset can't quit. Like, mm-hmm. everyone always says, like, oh, you won't quit. Like, I don't really think you'll leave because you just can't give this up. Like, it's a part of you. And Somerset, like, hates... Yeah, and Somerset hates that. Like, that's what he says multiple times. The reason he wants to leave is because this is, like, too fucked up and it makes him too sad. And then in the end, he just, like, resigns himself to the fact that, like, that's his life. Like, is sad and horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's like Mills is gonna grieve and he lost his job and all his hope, but at the same time, like, it Somerset even says, oh, if you need to be more like me, like, it's your emotions that are gonna get you in trouble. And it's like, he's right. It is exactly what gets him in trouble.
You can't turn off your emotions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what gets him in trouble. And at the end, it's like this lesson almost teaches him. But I think something else that's really interesting, because those are kind of, like, general anxieties that could be applicable to any time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's also interesting is the actual crimes themselves are very interesting, because 1995 is obviously coming up on the end of the millennium, and
The millennium. I thought that was just as funny as tie day.
Wow, you really have to watch the Zach Lunch Bunch to get that one. He's coming up on the end of the millennium. And this is obviously, like, some of you may not know this, but I'm sure most of you do. Like, we were born in, like, I was born in 98, you were born in 97.
Mm-hmm.
So only a couple years after this movie, but obviously it did not. I lived through the changing of the millennium, but I was obviously too young to experience any of the anxieties that came with that, because mm-hmm. I was, like, a baby. But a lot of people were afraid the world was gonna end. They were like, I mean, like, Y2K, that's obviously a joke, everyone knows about Y2K. But more than that, like, so there were several people who were prophesizing that that was gonna be when the apocalypse happened, that that was gonna be, like, the second coming of Christ, because it'd been, 2,000 years since Jesus, right? So, yeah. It was gonna be, like, his return, which, obviously did not happen, but that was, like, a big fear, and at the time, there were a lot of, like, religious people specifically that were very freaked out about the end of the world, and there were a lot of, like, people trying to, like, turn other people to God at this time. A lot of, like, evangelical stuff happening because they thought the world was going to end, right? And they don't want you to go to hell. So the whole idea of his crimes, in fact, are very, like, time specific, because he says, like, he's doing this as a lesson to other people, to, like, help others.
Yeah.
So I just think that's very interesting that that's, like, such a time-specific thing that it's really just, like, lost its meaning. Because, like, for us, when we see that, we're just like, oh, cool, serial killer thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's a cool, interesting serial killer thing. But it really did have, like, a root in the time where that would have been, like, not something that would have necessarily seemed probable, because that it's a very ridiculous crime. But something that, like, people would have not necessarily seen as so crazy.
I never thought about that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that it's, like, the end of the world. To him, it's like the end of the world is coming, so why wouldn't I try and teach people right now? Because especially he thinks the end of the world's going to happen in like 5 years.
True.
So, interesting things to think about.
Yes.
There's also like a lot of just like modern anxieties, like the fear of being like constantly watched, like John Doe is like always ahead of them. He always knows their next step. And then also they use like the library, the CIA or the FBI or whatever keeps like tabs on everybody's library cards. Like that's so freaky and totally something that could really happen.
Yeah.
And it's like so glossed over. Like at first Mills is like, that's not right. And then Somerset's like, get over it. Very interesting.
Yes.
It's very interesting. Fucked up. It's a fucked up movie. Yeah, it does. It is like not as good as the first time you watch it, but.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever get that back though, especially with movies like this.
No, I mean, that's the thing is, it's like once it's caught, it's like once you figure out the mystery of like the whodunit, there's really no joy in like rewatching it.
Yeah.
Because you'll always know. You'll never have, like, the same thrill.
Plus, you have to watch Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. Luckily, he's not in it that much.
True.
I honest to God forgot Kevin Spacey was in this movie.
Yeah, but it's hard to watch anything he's in.
Yeah. He really is such a creepo. But luckily, he's not in the movie all that much, and the parts he is in, you hate him. So
Brad Pitt's so
you can use
talented.
Your real hate. Yeah, he really is.
I was watching this movie because I had just watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and mm-hmm. I was watching this, and I was like, that's the same person.
I know. Brad Pitt really is very good. Like,
he's a very good actor. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. He's very talented actor.
Sometimes he goes through, like, phases where he gets in kind of bad movies.
It's true.
But and I think a lot of it is just because he's so attractive.
Yeah, like, yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Especially earlier in his career, he was really doing some shit. But you look at, like, the movies he's really good in, he does prove that he can be good.
Inglourious Basterds, he's phenomenal.
Inglourious Basterds. I mean, Fight Club, like, all these movies he's so good in.
Have you seen Meet Joe Black, where he plays Death?
No.
He's very good in that movie. I really like that movie.
I'll have to watch it. I do love Brad Pitt. Represent Missouri? Springfield? Apparently, originally, Brad Pitt wasn't the first choice for this part. It was actually Denzel Washington, but he turned it down because he thought it was too dark.
Interesting.
But now he says he wishes he had taken it. I bet you do.
Bet you do.
Also, apparently, so David Fincher really wanted Gwyneth Paltrow, right? For, the, like, girl, his wife.
Yes, yes.
And
Gwyneth
she
Paltrow.
Kept saying no. Yeah, she kept saying no. And then he used Brad Pitt, because they were dating at the time, to, like, get her to do it.
Oh, I didn't know they were dating at the time. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So it's cool. I didn't know that either. And so apparently Brad Pitt convinced her to do it because they were dating. Also, so the gluttony scene, one of the most gross, honestly, this is some of the most gross death things I've ever seen in it. But the cockroaches in the movie that you see on his body are real.
Ooh.
And they had to use seven crates of cockroaches onto the set and poured them on the actor.
Oh, so, my God.
Yes. So they put plugs in his ears and nose to stop the cockroaches from crawling in, but they did crawl into, like, his underwear and stuff. I know. I was like, no.
No.
I was literally like, I could not pretend to be dead. I would be like, that needs to be in post. I'm sorry. I'll let you do, like, five. But seven crates? Is that not overkill?
A little bit, I think.
So gross. Blech. Ugh. Yeah, David Fincher apparently, because this was right after Alien 3,
mm-hmm.
which, as we know, was not a very highly rated film. David Fincher basically was like, thought his career was going to be over after that film. And so it took him a long time. This was the first film he did after that. And it took them a long time to convince him because he was like, I can't.
Well, he redeemed himself, and Mindhunter's really good.
Yes, yes. Mindhunter's excellent. This is really good. I think it's still good. It still holds up. It's not like, some people really think it's like the best thriller they've ever seen. Disagree with that, but it is good.
It's a good thriller.
And you should watch it. But is it like top 10? Or like top 5? No, not really.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not, you know, the best movie ever. But you should watch it.
Especially if you haven't seen it, it's really fun to watch for the first time.
Yeah, you could like show it to someone, and they'd like it. You know, I think it's a very safe movie.
Yeah, anyone who likes thrillers will like it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people that are gonna be like, "Ew, this movie," except this one person from this IMDb review that I found.
Perfect. Nice segue.
Actually, a lot of people hated this movie. A lot of people also really loved it. I was afraid I was gonna find like a serial killer. You know what I mean?
You know, like, what? I think John Doe just wasn't all that bad.
I read a couple reviews that they didn't quite go enough into it for me to read them, but there was one specifically that was like, after watching this movie, it made me realize that the human race is full of disgusting animals. And I was like,
Oh no.
But they didn't really go beyond that. So I was like, well, I'm not going to read your review, but that did scare me. Okay. No, this person hates it. So it's a 1 out of 10. Called Another Example of American Violence Porn. This movie is almost unwatchable because of the pornographic use of violence. There are filmmakers who use violence sparingly when necessary, and then there are ones who wallow in it like porn. Also, just heads up, they say porn a lot in this review. This is an example of the gratuitous use of violence. The studios know that Americans and lots of foreign markets like Southeast Asia love violence for its own sake, so they dish it up because it sells. It sells better than sex. Religious zealots will let their kids watch violence while insisting they avoid sex. These kinds of movies get elevated to Academy stature. It's symptomatic of the American psyche. We would rather let our kids kill someone than have too much sex. I don't know if that's true. We would rather let our kids kill someone, not watch someone kill, literally kill someone, than have too much sex. Okay, that's overstated, but you get the point. Quentin Tarantino is one of the most famous violence porn producers. David Fincher, they spelled his name wrong, is talented, but I can just imagine him and Quentin masturbating to graphic porn. They need it to get off. That's the end.
Oh my god.
I know. This one's good too, but it was not as like angry. This one was just like, oh, the movie's bad. I'll see if I can find. I want to read a part of this review that I really like. This is a 1 out of 10. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's kind of long. But this is a 1 out of 10. I deeply regret seeing this movie. So I'm skipping the first part, which basically just says, don't watch it. I wish I had never seen it. And then it says, 7, a pretentiously dyslexic title. So then basically goes on to talk about how it's like really stupid and predictable, but I like this part. The twist ending is a dangerous form, and it rarely has it been more abysmally, ham-fistedly mishandled than in this film. Some people seem to think that dark, dismal, and depressing, and don't forget futile, is the same as deep. This film is as deep as a puddle of vomit. I strongly recommend you benefit from my error and avoid stepping in it. There we go.
Love it.
There weren't a lot of, like, scathing reviews. I really like the one that said that Quentin Tarantino probably jacks off to violence. I was like, okay. We'd rather let our children kill people than have sex. I was like, well, that's not true.
Well, that's not really.
Well, I just don't think the stats line up there at all. Interesting.
What would you give this movie?
Oh, probably like a 7 out of 10. Oh my god! I made a pun, I'm sorry.
I thought you were making a joke.
No, I was like, why is she laughing? That's my real rating. I was like,
I give it a 7 out of 10.
I forgot. 7 is the name of the film. I was like, what? What's funny? I don't... does it deserve an 8? I did see a lot of puns in the IMDb review titles about the number 7.
Oh my gosh.
People being like, 7 out of 10, it wishes. Or like, 7, 8, 9, so this gets a 10. Stuff like that.
Oh my god. All right.
What would you give it?
Oh, what would I give it?
You didn't tell me.
Probably like a 6 out of 10.
All right. Fair.
Just because I know that David Fincher can do better.
That's true. Mindhunter?
Mindhunter. Zodiac. Yeah.
Zodiac's so freaking good. I'm in love with Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm in love with Jake Gyllenhaal too. It's like a problem. It's an issue.
It is a problem. He's so chaotic. You ever watch interviews with him? He's chaos.
I love it. I love how chaotic he is. Have you seen interviews with him and Tom Holland? It's so cute.
No, but that sounds adorable because they're both a little chaotic.
Tom Holland will like try to ruin like the Marvel movie, and then like Jake Gyllenhaal's like, "Shut up."
Yeah, I freaking love. I would love to meet Jake Gyllenhaal, but I think honestly, I'd be kind of scared of him. You know?
Oh yeah, me too.
Like. Every interview I've ever seen him in, he is so fucking crazy. Like, and so straight-faced crazy, too. Like, and I'm just like, I think I would be so intimidated. I'd be so scared.
Like, he's not like a Tom Cruise crazy. He's like...
No. He's like, he's charming crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But also in the, crazy itself is very intimidating to me. Like, the ability to just, like, do those things... And not at all have fear about it is what's scary to me.
Yeah.
Ugh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's so good.
So hot, too.
So talented. Anyway. Follow us on social media.
Yeah. And donate to us on Patreon. We're probably gonna do cats.
Yeah, I think we're gonna do cats.
So scared. I already know what it's going to be like, but it probably is going to be one of the funniest episodes we've ever done, so please.
I think so. I think it will be.
I'm going to try and sit in the very back of the theater so that I can take notes.
Yes. Try.
I'm going to try. I really want to. So, please donate to our Patreon if you want to hear that. We will get our audio fixed. I'm so sorry. Just like maybe 3 more episodes. You just have to hold on for like 3 more episodes.
And then it'll be good. It'll be fine again.
So many of you have already left. I'm so sorry.
Maybe you'll come back to us though.
Maybe we'll win you back. No one's left bad reviews, so that's good.
That is good.
Thanks for not leaving us a bad review, even though we know the audio's bad. Anyway, see you guys next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Happy birthday, Jane.